Do not be afraid. Just have faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. 10 days ago, the U.S. bishops of the United States have asked for Catholic Christians, Catholic citizens, to make a serious reflection on religious liberty, to seriously consider who we are as free people in this society, and how religious liberty is one of the principal bedrocks of the founding of our country. They call this 2-week period the Fortnight for Freedom. Began with a mass in Baltimore on June 20th and will end with a mass in Washington, D.C. on Independence Day, July 4th. And rightly so, a day that we celebrate freedom. This fortnight of freedom, then, we are to reflect on what is happening, because our religious liberty is under attack by a new law. The law is called the Affordable Care Act, often called Obamacare. And a part of this Affordable Care Act, it mandates from the Health and Human Services that all institutions, doctors, nurses, must provide for abortion, contraception, and sterilization services, regardless of the conscience of the doctors, nurses, or the institution. This is a direct attack on religious liberty. The law provides for the Health and Human Services to rewrite the meaning of religion. And so our bishops are saying that we need to be aware of this new law, to recognize that Catholic institutions and all religious institutions may not survive if this law goes fully into effect. Their case is being brought before the Supreme Court. I don't know when it's going to be decided or how it will be decided. But we might have a clue to this decision by the recent decision by another challenge to the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare. This challenge was brought by 26 states and various businesses. The new law mandates that all the states have to provide Medicare for all peoples at the poverty level and 33% above the poverty level. Right now it's just at the poverty level and below, and for specific people. Now the law says all peoples must provide for Medicare. And the states are saying, we can't afford this. In addition, this is a direct attack against states' rights. The government, the federal government, telling states that they have to do this. And so they brought their case before the Supreme Court, and it was decided on Thursday. Perhaps you heard about it. Chief Justice Roberts sided with others for a majority opinion on this. And he wrote the opinion himself. He said that, well, the states are right. The government can't force states to do this. But then there's something else that they brought up against the government, against this law, that mandated that you had to purchase insurance. This goes directly against the Commerce Act. But life insurance, who we are, this touches us all, huh? Our health is very important to us, obviously. And so this is an important, important decision. And we see how important it is because it shows up in the readings. Every reading talks about health in one way or another. Where does bad health come from? Where does death come from? Well, we see in the first reading from the Book of Wisdom that death comes by way of the devil. God did not intend for death to be a part of our lives. He intended for us to be immortal. But the devil persuaded Adam and Eve, huh? We know this from our catechism, from the book of Genesis. That persuading them to sin, to disobey God, brought into reality original sin. And that original sin affects not just humanity, but all creation has been disrupted by sin. Now we see this original sin in us, firstly, how? By way of death. Death is the first effect of original sin. What are we to do? Well, we see in the gospel reading that the Lord had a plan to remedy original sin. The Lord sent His Son into the world, and Jesus comes amongst us preaching the good news and showing that He has power to reverse the sin of Adam, to reverse original sin. He performs miracles, so He is called to this daughter of Jairus, who has already died. And He simply says to her, as if she were sleeping, "Get up." And she arises. Power. Power over death. Jesus will show this power in Himself when He'll be crucified on Good Friday and rise by His own power on Easter Sunday. Jesus has power to defeat sin, to defeat Satan, to defeat death. And He shows that power again with this woman who incidentally goes to all these doctors and spends all her money trying to get well. It was only by the touch of Jesus that she was healed. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Jesus wants us to know that faith is important. Faith is the doorway to eternal life. This is what Jesus has come to do. He has come to open up the gates of heaven. This young girl will grow old and will die. This woman who had hemorrhages will get sick and die again. But for us who believe, death is not the final say. Jesus has offered us eternal life. And this is what we celebrate as Catholic Christians. We see this in the second reading. We know that this world is passing away. We know that God has provided a better place for us. But yet we are to use our time here below, our talent, our finances, to help others who are in need. And so St. Paul reflects on this to one community, that when you were in need, this other Christian community helped you out. You do likewise, he's telling them. Be generous as Christians. Be generous with your time, talent, and treasure. You cannot outdo God in generosity. And you, the people of St. Mary's, the parishioners here, have been very generous with your Sunday collections, with the food pantry, with our annual diocesan appeal. And I am pleased to announce for the third year in a row that we have met and surpassed our ADA goal because of your generosity. And any monies that we collect over that goal will come back to the parish. You are acting out of your Christian faith. You are truly taking the Lord's words to heart. So we are to help others. You know, there is a bus going around full of nuns regarding this new law. And they're telling everybody that this new law is very Catholic because it is helping the poor. Well, that's one argument. There are counter arguments, for example, from the dissent of the Chief Justice's opinion. After the controversy on Thursday, I said, well, I better read this opinion myself. It took me about 3 hours on Friday. had to reread some paragraphs, some sections over and over again because of the lawyerese. The language is very difficult. Had to learn new concepts, new words. The Anti-Injunction Act, severability, non-severability. I think I threw a nap or two in there too. But it was a very interesting read, because the dissent is saying, wait a second, the law mandates that people have to buy insurance under the Commerce Clause, and if they don't do so, it's a fine, a penalty. Well, you're forcing somebody into commerce. You're forcing somebody into buying something. And that's not what the Commerce Clause is for. Well, the Chief Justice said, you're right. The Commerce Clause cannot force you into activity that you don't want. It cannot tax inactivity under the Commerce Clause. But, since Congress has the right to tax, they can tax you anyways, he's saying. Which is a curious position. The government can now tax your inactivity. Well, how does that play out? I mean, this is a radical new position from our government. We've never had this before. Could they perhaps, let's say, well, they tax cigarettes. Part of that tax goes to health care. Can they tax you if you don't smoke? Well, I suppose they can under this new law. It seems that they can. So this is a troubling new law that we have in our land. And so our U.S. bishops are asking us to look at this in regards to religious liberty. We need to hold dear religious liberty, to take seriously what our government is saying in this new law, and do what we can to reverse it. So on these days of the Fortnight for Freedom, we need to pray for our country, pray for our legislators. Pray on Wednesday, Independence Day. There will be a closing mass to the Fortnight of Freedom in Washington, D.C. I hope you watch it on EWTN. I'll have a mass here at 9 a.m. I want to encourage you to come to Mass on the 4th of July. If you really want to celebrate the 4th of July, celebrate religious liberty. The first line of the Bill of Rights, the right to worship. Bring your young people. Why? Because young people aren't worshiping. Young people don't even know about God, what our country was founded for. And then at the end of Mass, approximately 9:30, I'm going to join a movement across the United States to have a public reading of the Declaration of Independence. We need to hear again those words of why our country was founded. What were the injustices from the King of England that so motivated and so moved the Founding Fathers to establish a free, independent, sovereign nation? We need to hear those words again. You know, this law is the law of the land now. It's troubling in many ways, new implications. It's kind of curious in his argumentation. At one point he puts a joke, at least he gets kind of cheeky. Towards the end of his opinion, he cites Benjamin Franklin in a letter that he wrote to a friend that in the end there's nothing but death and taxes. But this law will be known for other things. His opinion will be known for other things, and especially, I believe, for the last paragraph. If you don't know anything else, what happened on Thursday, know what he wrote in the last paragraph. It's very, very instructive. He said, the phrase framers, that is the framers of the Constitution, the framers created a federal government of limited powers and assigned to this court the duty of enforcing those limits. The court does so today. But the court does not express any opinion on the wisdom of the Affordable Care Act. Under the Constitution, that judgment is reserved to the people. Under the Constitution, the wisdom of the Affordable Care Act is reserved to the people. Very curious ending to an opinion. I don't want to put words in Chief Justice Roberts' mouth, but he's sort of saying one of two things. He's saying, hey, the people, you, the people elected these representatives, and they made the law, and you have to live with it. But he's also saying, you, the people, you elect the representatives. You elect them. There's still time. There's still time. And so our bishop and the U.S. bishops have encouraged this fall be a time of great activity amongst Catholic Christians, Catholic citizens, that we know what is at stake in this next election, and that we exercise the God-given rights that have been established in our Bill of Rights, in our Constitution, that we stand up for religious liberty and the other liberties that God wants us to have.